Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Blue Heron.
I watched the second half of Blue Heron.
And this
is the other half.
Canada Month, eh? Okay, guys, I know we've had a lot of fun this month. We've been watching a lot of goofy, silly little films about, you know, Jacob Elordi and Canadian bacon. We got to slow down a bit. Slow down a little bit and just check in on what it's like to be a little girl in Canada growing up with a bunch of Hungarian parents.
Uh-huh.
And one fucking insane kid.
And one weird guy. One little freak.
I feel mean saying that because he kind of looks like you.
He does, you know, him being in around this family, I'm like, that's like me being with my friends and being like, I don't really get along with, like, when I hang my friends at a kid.
Because, like, they keep calling him, what's his name? Fucking
Jeremy.
Jeremy. They keep saying, like, Jeremy's, like, the mom's kid or whatever. And I'm just like, where did this happen? Like, was that, like.
It was another parent,
that's
apparently.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, that's what they say it later on. Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, like, kid's white as fuck.
Yeah.
Don't look like any of the other kids. Also, age-wise, massive difference.
Probably like 10 years older than all of them.
Probably, yeah. And he is going through it. And that's kind of the thing about I kind of like about the movie is, like, it might have the movie. We really don't get, like, Jeremy's perspective. It's all told from Sasha's, the little girl. But it's like, I'm watching this movie, and I know, like, the parents are like, he's going crazy. He's acting up. And, yeah, he's not, like, a perfect kid. But I'm like, I think he just needs like a friend or something. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
He just needs to hang out with someone that's like his him age. Or chilling. Yeah. There's no one relatable to this little white blonde boy.
Yeah. In this little Hungarian household.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, everyone, the little, like, the kids are great. Like, acting wise.
Yeah, yeah.
The little boys, oh God, I wrote everyone's names down.
They barely come into play in my house.
Felix and Henry.
Okay.
Loved them.
Yeah.
They felt like real kids. Sasha's great. This little girl, she's fantastic. Also, I mean, even the kid that plays Jeremy is great. I thought he was a very natural actor. The mother and father is all good. I mean, everyone's good in this movie.
So, like, what did you know about this movie beforehand?
That it took place in Canada and it was directed and written by a Canadian. And that's all I knew.
Yes. So I saw this movie blowing up on Letterboxd. Uh-huh. That's the reason I kind of brought it to my attention.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and then I saw it was Canadian and I was like, okay, well, this seems good for this month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's directed by someone named Sophie Ramvari.
I've seen one short of hers. It was on the Criterion Channel.
Yes.
And it's called Pumpkin Movie.
Oh, you saw a pumpkin movie. Interesting.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's, I want to say, maybe like a 10-minute long short. And it's these two women who are carving pumpkins in the middle of the night. One is in Toronto. One is, I think, elsewhere. And they're like doing it over Zoom or Skype or whatever. And it's like set around Halloween time. This is like what they do every year during Halloween.
This is the most like Mike thing you would ever click on Clinker.
I saw it and I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? They really got my ass here. And so they're doing this and they're telling like scary stories, but the scary stories they tell are not like, and then a goblin jumped out. It's like, so there was this guy I work with and he's being really fucking weird. And it's just them talking about like the men that they have to deal with in their lives. And those are their scary stories as they're carving their pumpkins up. And I really liked it. I liked it a lot. It's very like minimalistic style, like film or whatever.
But it's very grounded though, right?
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Good. She also directed something called Still Processing, which was a short documentary film about, she made her thesis project while pursuing her MFA in film at York University.
Mm.
And the film explores her family's unresolved grief over the deaths of her two older brothers.
Oh.
Through the process of digitizing a box of old films, photographs, and then developed photographic negatives of them throughout their lives.
Oh.
So this movie is in some way semi-autobiographical.
Oh.
And the person at some point, do you never see adult Sasha in your life?
I do see them in my half. Well, okay. I hear about them at the very beginning of the movie. They
become a main character literally in the halfway point.
Really? The adult version?
The adult version.
Does Jeremy kill his brothers?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We don't actually really know what happens to him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's not great.
Yeah. So the movie opens. I'm not going to jump into the whole, like, but you're bringing this up. The movie opens with Sasha narrating. Mm-hmm. And it's her with, like, her phone camera. And she's, like, shooting, like, the little town that this movie takes place in, that she grew up in.
Is she on top of a hill?
Yes. And she says over the top, like narrated, she says, I can't remember my childhood. And so it's hard to trust her memories. And she says that she doesn't remember. She does remember his maps. She keeps referring to some man or some guy. And then she says that she was always angry at him, but he never really knew him. And that her memories of him is all that she has now. And I was like, oh, this must be like her dad. Like immediately I just assumed like dad. But that's very much not the case because she mentions the maps. And we know that Jeremy's sort of proclivity when he's not like doing shit.
He's making maps.
He's making maps by himself listening to music.
Yeah.
So you're saying this is semi-autobiographical.
Yeah. I mean, because like her own older brother went through, I guess, this sort of thing. And she was kind of just talking about her relationship with kind of her estranged brother, I think. And this kind of like reflects into that. And I think the ways the movie goes about grounding itself is just really potent.
Oh, my God.
Oof. Boy.
Dude, it felt very real.
This movie fucked me up at the end. It was fucked up.
It was. I liked Miami because nothing like majorly fucked up happened.
Well, that's the thing. Nothing majorly fucks up happens in mine, but it's just like the gravity of just like how real everything felt and how the emotions of every character felt like
real.
Very relatable. Yeah. Like even if you've never gone through something exactly like this, like I'm a fucking only child.
Yes. But you don't have siblings.
No, but you know about like the weird kid at school or the troubled kid. And it's just kind of like another way of like looking at them and like, especially when, and you know what it's like to be younger and not understand something, right? Like stuff going through. And then as you those things are revealed to you as you get older in life and you expand on that, those are very fucking real feelings.
Yes. Yes. So yes. This movie, and you realize like you were too young to have even been able to deal with any of those things.
You
right?
kind of like you know about it. You respect, like in the beginning, she goes over like the feeling she had, which is like I was always angry at him, which is like very, very valid.
Yeah. She was
but
child.
You never knew why.
Yeah.
You know, you never knew like the full story about it. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, we put this one person here. He's giving us all these problems. But what is the story behind that person? And like, what were they? What did they need? How could
there have been any change or improvement?
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing that I related to a lot about this movie, to speak a bit about my family history without getting too far into it, is there's a lot of moments, because what I really love about this movie is also the parents' perspective. We don't actually get their names. They're just referred to as like father and mother.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really amazing to see these two people who are clearly like, there's a lot of, as you mentioned, like this is from the mom's previous marriage or relationship or whatever. That's like where Jeremy came from. And the father has tried as much as he can to sort of ingratiate himself as the father to Jeremy. But I think Jeremy's sort of resisting that as much as he possibly can. It doesn't really like buy into that. And so you see this mom who has so much like baggage and like sadness, and a father who's sort of just like unable to really like deal with that because like, you know, so there's a lot there. And then there's this one moment that really stuck out to me when the mom is talking to Sasha, little Sasha, who's like, what, like 5, 7?
Probably like 8, yeah.
8? She's like, she's asking Sasha, like, what do you think is wrong with your brother? And like, stuff like, there's no way Sasha would be able to fucking answer that question, right?
Yeah.
And she's just like,
but
what?
But this shows the desperation of the mom.
But that's, because she has no one else to talk to. She has nobody to listen to springboard off of.
It's such an isolating feeling, right? Because, like, this is something where it's like, this is kind of a scary thing about parenthood, right? Is that, like, you're alone in this with your partner.
Yes.
It's just you two people, right? Yes. There are social workers who come in and out.
Sure.
But they're never going to be in the same kind of,
like
day situation.
In, day out.
They're not going to be day in, day out, right? But the kids are. So it's like, oh, you have perspective on things. Maybe I'll talk to you. Like, you're desperate, though, because, like, you're talking to, like, an 8-year-old. Like, they're not going to have any perspective on things.
And
they're probably thinking about their My Little Ponies, you know?
And it's also your parent asking you this.
Yes.
Like, how am I supposed to respond to the person that I'm supposed to, like, look up to and, like, I feel has any kind of... I'm like, I go to you for problems and help and you know? And so, like, that was very real to me, having very similar like interactions with my mom growing up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, like this is clearly from a very real perspective. Like, because like when I was a kid, I was like, I wish I could help my mom right now. And now as an adult, I'm like, there's no fucking way I would have been able to help my mom. I was like a fucking child, you know?
I know, right?
So yeah, that was very real. And and again, it's like, I just really love like that sort of thought put into this movie. This movie is full of a lot of emotion. It captures it so realistically. It's so beautifully shot.
I was going to say, what do you think about the shooting? Because it's a very unique film style where I feel like almost everything has like a foreground shot that's blurring out the background.
Yes.
Like
yes.
There's always something in the front, whether it's like a bunch of leaves or maybe like a trellis or a window frame or something is like...
It's dirtying up the frame and then we're seeing the thing in the background that's more in focus. Yeah.
It's very weirdly documentarian, but I think the reason they're doing this is because it's like, it feels like knowing from where the director kind of comes from.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like this is how memories feel, right? Like you remember weird specific parts about things about memories, right? Yeah. Like if you think back, a lot of times you can remember the conversation, sure. But then you also remember like, and they're wearing this ugly orange shirt for some reason. And you just think about that. And that's kind of how I felt when I was like, watch this conversation. But it's about maybe someone, but it has like maybe like a big tree in the front.
And right.
You just keep looking at that tree being like, I have a conversation about that tree. It's interesting. Really frames the space.
It's how you remember memories. It's like, you're like, I remember there was a weird tree there. I also think it reminds me of like old photography. Like, where
the dad's a photographer too.
Yes, and they do a lot of that where it's like he's using like old digital video to record certain memories. He's a dark room that we see later on in my half of the movie. He shoots things on black and white film, and so we see little shots of those as well throughout the film. And so it's like this interesting thing of like a lot of memory that is like saved and kept, which I guess comes into play in the documentary that this person ends up making as well. The digitizing of a child's memory.
I almost wonder if this is like maybe like here's the process of me making this kind of like documentary in some ways and like kind of like but dramatizing it and changing a little bit. But like even when you dramatize things, you're drawing from something you know, right?
Yeah.
And I think that gives a much more grounded experience than someone who's just like writing like, I wonder what it's like to be this person.
This felt so real and like human and sensitive in moments that it honestly felt a bit like I shouldn't be watching it.
Well,
like
also the way it's shot is very voyeuristic too, because it's always very far away and they're zooming in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, they're dirtying the frames. So there's a lot of shit in the foreground. And so, it does feel like you're sort of like peeking in on the things. You're seeing things you shouldn't be seeing, right? There's a lot of scenes, particularly in the parents' bedroom, where like you're looking through the windows.
Yes.
So it almost feels like you're like a neighbor. Yeah, exactly. So well done.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked by it. Like, it's weird because just explaining it, I feel like you're not going to get, there's something
audience,
about the,
you're not going to understand.
You're not going to get it. And it's not because we can't explain things perfectly.
It's because you have to have a high IQ.
Yeah. So this is the Rick and Morty of documentaries from Canada. But there's something about just the vibes and the music in this is also really good.
The
sound effects are good. Yeah. The sound mix is good. Like, there's just a lot going on that is a relatively simple film.
Yeah.
But it just comes from such a place that's like, you feel the pain, and they transfer the pain so effortlessly to this.
Yeah.
The poster of this movie is a freaking like photograph cut in half.
With
Jeremy on the other side and the other kids on like
one side.
They're
ripped up. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Ripped, and it's just like, that's such an obvious way to describe what this movie feels like, but it fits so well.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing because like the movie is from Sasha's perspective. One of the I bring up the sound design. One of the things I actually really love about it, and now knowing that it's pretty much based off of a person's actual lived experience, Sasha has like long dark hair, like long thick like dark hair, and there's certain moments in the flashbacks where like she'll like be playing with it, and they add in the like sound mix the sound of her like messing with her hair. And I remember going like, oh, that's kind of like an interesting choice as like a director to like include such a minor detail. But yeah, if you think back to your memory of being a little girl or whatever, and you're like playing with your like thick hair, you're probably thinking about, as a director, putting someone in that perspective, in that like point of view. It's like, well, I really want to include all the like sensory like memories.
You can't have smell, which I feel is like probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
But, like,
so you include all the sound tiniest stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like the sound of a hair, the sound, just all these little, like there's constant sounds of birds around, you know?
Yeah.
So like that to me, like just felt like such a perfect example of just like putting the audience in this girl's perspective. And yet, as the poster shows, this really isn't a movie about her as much as it's about like the meditation of like this poor kid, Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's the name, right?
Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Our little white boy. A little white boy gets to be a protagonist, what finally.
Oh, my God. Yeah, poor little white boy. That is crazy.
Might shoot up a school. But he can't because he's in Canada.
He's in Canada. Although there is that really good film called The Dirties that's directed by Matt Johnson, who did Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie, about a school shooting. It's really good.
Yeah. Sounds like a real riot.
It's very funny.
Okay.
So, all right. So we open on the shot that I mentioned, Sasha shooting stuff through her iPhone, and then we see a car driving through the woods. And I wrote down, holy shit, incredible opening title and music. Loving this so far. That's all I got. I just got the opening titles. And what
you're
it is...
sold, baby. You're
what
sold.
What it is, I now realize, it's close-ups of Jeremy's maps.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And we see, I didn't know that at the time. I just thought it was like random.
Oh,
lines.
And is it cut to a part that says Blue Heron?
Yeah.
And that's like a street or something like that.
I guess so.
I'm pretty sure my grandparents lived on a Blue Heron, which is kind of crazy.
Fucking freaky, man.
Freaky, dude.
Freaky shit. So the six members of the family, which I was just like, holy shit, this is such a big family.
Yeah.
Mother, father, Jeremy, the oldest, Sasha, little girl, and wrote down possible narrator, and now realize it is, and Felix and Henry. Father takes film photos. And we see
he
what
makes a living
like.
Off of that somehow. Canada.
Well, he makes a living off of that. I'm and sure also, like, else. Spends most of his time on the fucking computer.
Oh, yeah.
The new, like, Windows computer, which, again, like, it's all the little things. I wrote it down. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we had that computer.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Probably a Windows
the old
95. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just, like, setting it up. Mom's on the phone with someone speaking Hungarian.
Well, I was going to say the person, the director is literally our age. So there's probably a lot of
overlap. That makes a lot of
nostalgia.
Sense.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of sense. But it's like nostalgia, but it's not that annoying thing that movies do where it's isn't it fun? Like, remember how
it's like,
fun
it's just
was?
There.
Yeah. It's like, it's window dressing.
Yeah. It's like what you're just taking from the time period.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, what are you going to do?
Mom's on the phone with someone. I'm assuming it's her mom, a person who doesn't want to hear about her complain. Mom takes family into like the woods. The father stays home and sets up the computer. Father spends a lot of time on the computer. And I will say, when I was watching this movie on the computer, I was having like some internet issues. So I was having trouble actually like finishing the movie. And I was sitting on the computer while my wife took our dog out for a walk. And boy, did I ever feel like the dad in this movie. Just like
the kids are going out to the camp.
Yeah. And yeah, and like at one point, like the wife comes, the mom comes in and is like, I can't be entertaining the kids all summer long. And you're just sitting there on the computer. And I'm just like, I'm just going to finish this movie. I don't want to be here.
It's not my fault.
I'm trying to finish the movie. I just got to do this so I can record a podcast with my friend.
Sorry, I'm such an obligation.
No, you're not.
And the audience is such an obligation.
No, you're
and
not.
And they're preventing you from hanging out with your family, okay, your dog and your cat.
I mean, that you are, but yeah. I mean, you're not an obligation. So, yeah, the mom is doing that, and she takes photographs of children on the trip. The oldest son, Jeremy, watches a documentary about herons in an seemingly abandoned museum, like no one's in there, and he's watching it on TV, just like a little documentary, and it mentions how by the time of maturity the young will leave the nest and will leave all connection to their family severed. So I was like already starting to put pieces together. I'm like, what does this mean? Like, what is the meaning behind this? Like, they included this in the subtitles. This must be important. The oldest son steals a blue heron keyring. And Sasha sees it.
Key ring.
Yeah, a little key ring.
So they live in Blue Heron or something, or is it?
No, it's like a no. It's a because the nature documentary he's watching is in a museum, and in the museum, they have like a merch store or whatever, a gift shop, and in there is a key ring that has the design of a blue heron on the outside of it, and he steals it, and Sasha sees it.
Okay.
Sasha has made friends with local girls. Do you want to mention that Sasha and her brothers are like darker skinned?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Sasha makes friends with a bunch of local girls who are all very white. It's all the little things. Like, she leaves the house and the dad's like, goodbye. And the dad's like painting the front door red. And when Sasha returns home, the front door is completely painted red. It's all the little things where I'm like, oh, like a cool concept of like the passage of time that has occurred over time. So the girls that she's made friends with all run away and hide. From Sasha, and Sasha is like, where are you? And she ends up crawling into the pool because she was promised that she would go swimming in their pool, but the pool has a cover on it, and Sasha almost dies, and the girls never come to help her, but luckily a neighbor shows up and helps her out of the pool, and Sasha walks home drenched.
Damn.
And I was watching this. I'm like, man, this feels like such a weird, like, personal moment. I wonder if this happened to the director. Probably did.
Probably did.
Yeah. Sasha arrives home. The front door is painted red. Jeremy is laying on the porch, just lying there, just looking straight up in the air. And the father is talking to the mother. And the mother's like, the father's like, there's something wrong with him, he says. And the mother's like, why aren't you speaking? Why are you speaking English? Why aren't you speaking Hungarian? So immediately the mom is like changing the subject. And then
she's like, why aren't you like masking this? Because I don't think they probably taught that little white boy Hungarian.
No.
They did.
And well, I think that's, and the dad says, like, that's the decision we've made. Like, we've decided we've moved here. We're not going to speak Hungarian in front of the children. Like, we're gonna change.
Yeah, they're
and
gonna assimilate.
We're gonna assimilate, exactly. So the father feels like there's something wrong or troubled about Jeremy. And the mother's like, I don't want you to say nasty things about my son. And the dad is like, he's my son too, you know.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an amazing moment. Like, this is the thing I'm writing this down and I'm like, this is not conveying how cleverly this movie is telling this information to you.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's so smart. And like, this whole scene is shot, like I said, from the outside through the window. And we are just following Sasha, like, because like all this is happening off camera, and we're seeing Sasha like walk in the house, like get a towel, and then like walk into her parents' bedroom and then like flop on the bed. And it's like,
there was something I wrote down about this movie about like the way the film like just holds on like the simple acts of just existing and living, and like the small moments of like just getting ready to go to work or just getting up in the morning or just things like that. It's like, you're kind of like given time to think about like what just happened.
Yeah.
And in some ways that's what the character's also doing, is they're like going through their day. They're getting ready. They're probably processing whatever happened just before.
And here's what's fucking bananas about this movie. Cause it's like, it's, we're making it sound like it's like a, you know, a slow meditative film, which it is. The movie's so short.
It's only an hour and a half.
It's only an hour and a half, guys. You have an hour and a half.
You have an hour and a half. Go do it.
You have 90 minutes. Watch this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Stop listening to our podcast.
Go watch it.
Go fucking watch it and then come back here. It's so good.
We already got your download. You don't even have to listen. Just stop.
So mom talks to Sasha about Jeremy. This is what I wrote down. This is the thing I was talking about, where it's like she's asking Sasha questions that there's no way she could possibly fucking answer. Family gets a call complaining about Jeremy on the porch.
Why? He's just sitting there.
Because he's a weirdo. He's lying on the porch. Why is he lying on the porch like that? Everyone's like, is he dead? Why is he causing such a stir? But this is the genius thing. Because you, at one half, is like, oh yeah, he's kind of acting weird. But then the other half, you're like, why is everyone making such a big fucking fuss about this?
He's just
on his own fucking property.
Yeah, he's not bothering anyone. That's the thing, is like, he can't win, right?
No,
like,
he can't.
He does some shit, like he steals stuff, whatever. Get in trouble for that. But then he just does like normal, like just weird teen stuff, just like sitting on a couch. The thing is like,
he's on the porch of his house. It's gorgeous outside. But he's like listening to fucking sounds.
He's listening to sounds. If he was with friends, though, no one would give a shit.
Nobody would care.
They'd be like, whatever. But
he doesn't know anybody. They just moved here.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. This movie's fucking good. Jeremy's back inside. It's the next morning. He's starting shit with his brothers. He's putting like a divider in between himself and them. And he's like, I don't want to watch you eat, he says. So that's why he's doing that. Which is like, you know, I understand that. You know, little boys eating is kind of disgusting.
Yeah, they're pretty gross.
Mom tells dad to stop working on the computer. He needs to help entertain the kids during the summer. And she's like, I'm going crazy. And the dad says, even more crazy? And the mom, like, looks at him. And the dad, like, immediately puts the mouse down, gets up, and just hugs her.
Uh-oh.
It was, like, really shit in the world.
Oh, no. I put my foot in my mouth. I gotta stop.
And then they start hearing, like, thumping, like... like, you just keep hearing this, like, regular thumping. And they're just like, oh, this is kind of crazy. And I'm like, is this, like, a neighbor, like, going to town? Like, what's going on with this? Like, are we hearing, like, this constant thumping?
Yeah.
And it seems like the mom is, like, taking the kids out to go, like, to, like, the pool. Eventually, we realize she's taking them to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, pool's bad experience with Sasha already.
So. Oh, yeah, actually, it's a fair point. So they're going to the beach.
Can't cover up the beach with a towel
and drown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, we're going to go to the beach. And then she talks to her, like, her sons and is like, do you have any, like, swim trunks? And they're like, we don't have any. And she's like, yeah, just wear your underwear. Nobody will notice anyway.
Yeah.
And we keep hearing this, like, thumping, this constant thumping. And I'm just like, what in the fuck is the thumping? Why are they not, like, addressing the thumping? And I realize the thumping is Jeremy. He's outside. He's throwing a ball against the side of the house.
Just being a weird guy.
So mom is like, Jeremy, come here. And he just ignores her. And she's like, come on, Jeremy, get in the car. And he just keeps throwing the ball. And this kid, Jeremy, he doesn't say fucking anything in my other movie. Maybe like five lines. He's so good. This mm-hmm. kid. I don't know where they found this kid. He's so good as playing this like little guy. I don't know.
Playing this little strange white boy.
Yeah.
Where do you find strange white boys these days? Where do you find
strange white boys these days that obviously aren't going to actually do anything scary?
But they could.
But they probably could.
But they could. That's the thing that's kind of weird about them.
It's so good. So then the mom's like, all right, fine. So she's prepared to drive away. She like starts the car. And then Jeremy ends up spinning the ball on his finger. And I'm like, all right, Jeremy seems pretty fucking cool.
If you could spin the ball on his finger, join the fucking
Globetrotters. Yeah. And then he runs to the car. So the family goes to the beach that turns you old. No, they just go to a beach.
Oh,
and
man.
The kids who I wrote down, the kids who play Felix and Henry seem very
cool.
That's
a red herring, not a blue herring.
Jump game sense in chat. So I wrote down, Felix and Henry seem like real friends. I like the two of them together. Jeremy sits quietly on a cliff. He throws a big rock in the water. And then he goes up to Sasha, who's just like making sandcastles. And Jeremy just like shows her the blue heron key ring. Just like puts it in front of her and then walks off. Showing her like, yeah, I stole that shit.
Or is he giving it to her?
Maybe he's giving it to her. I don't really know. That's the thing. You're supposed
you
to
never really
of
know what that.
It.
You never know what this weird little kids
you
do.
You never know. So then Jeremy goes missing. He just walks off. And yeah. He didn't take any money with him. Like, he just leaves. And so the children all wait in the car while it rains. And mom is, like, walking around looking for Jeremy. And it's starting to, like thunder and lightning. And the kids are all like, where's Jeremy? What happened to mom? Where's mom? Mom's over there. They don't know what's going on. And mom is, like, getting exacerbated. Exasperated.
Exasperated, yeah.
And it's, like, raining. And she's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So she just gets in the car and she drives. And then on the way back home, she sees Jeremy on the side of the road at a gas station, just like talking to some guy that works there, drinking a soda. And so she gets out of the car and is like, get in the car. What are you doing? So Jeremy gets in the car, sits behind her, and then starts shaking her like car seat like a little asshole.
Uh-huh.
And then the mom is like, what are you trying to do? Why don't we get in a wreck? And Jeremy's like, and then he stops.
I guess not.
Yeah. Jeremy, we cut to Jeremy in his room drawing maps while listening to music. We then cut to the two boys, Felix and Henry. They're I love them. It really feels like the director just like pointed a camera at them, and then the director was just like, just do boy
just
stuff.
Just be kid stuff.
So they were like throwing shit at each other and trying to catch it in their mouths, like whether it was food or not. Real as shit. And then we cut to dad on the computer, and Sasha is like, where's mom? And dad's like, she's at an appointment, but he won't say where the appointment is. And Sasha's like, what appointment? Dad, what appointment? And he doesn't want to answer the question. So he just pulls up Microsoft Word. No, Microsoft Paint. And then he's like, paint something, Sasha. And Sasha's like, okay. So she like draws a little mouse.
Man, that's such a real thing, though, where it's just like, I don't want to distract you, kid.
Yeah,
don't
right?
ask any more questions. But you remember that you're like, I never got an answer for that.
Yeah, I never really like got any more explanation. We later learn the appointment is that she's seeing a child psychologist to get more information about Jeremy. Felix and Henry play in the kitchen sink with like little like toy boats. Father takes photos of them, and Jeremy's in there in the kitchen.
You know, I gotta say real quick.
Yeah.
This movie's about Canada Month. Not a lot of Canada stuff going on.
This is in Canada, my man.
I know, but besides that, there's nothing Canadian about it.
This is way more Canadian than the last two movies, which takes place primarily in America.
But it talks about Canada more. This is all about being sad and being a human.
In Canada.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad. It's a little cold. It's a little colder up there.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta wear a coat now.
You're right. There's not a whole lot. The director is Canadian. Oh. That more we can say about the last two movies.
That doesn't make it a very Canadian movie.
Yeah, that's
despite
fair.
The fact that it's probably a more Canadian movie.
if only the kid turned around and was like, hey, who wants some poutines?
Yeah.
And the dad's like, let's all go to Tim Hortons.
Exactly. Let's get some Timbits.
Exactly.
Then there's French. These are they aren't even French.
Nobody speaks French in this. That's
no,
true. There's
Hungarian.
No French Canadians in this.
No.
The father takes photos of Felix and Henry playing in the kitchen, and Jeremy is using the powdered sugar to sort of like cover the stuff that they're doing, like the I guess make like smog or something for the two ships in the kitchen sink.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of a little beautiful moment. Like Jeremy seems genuinely happy, and like, you know, the father takes photos of all of them, and they're all having a good time. it's kind of beautiful. Like, I don't know. I kind of remember moments like this where it's like, you're just like with your family in the middle of the night and, you know, we didn't have our damn cell phones on us and we weren't in front of the damn TV and we were just like having fun together. It feels like a really real moment. Mm-hmm. And it's also such a relief because like up until now, Jeremy's just sort of seemed like a quiet, reserved kid. And you're just like, I bet he hates his brothers. Or I bet he hates his family. No,
not really.
He's getting along with them perfectly fine.
He's never like mean to them. No, he's kind of an asshole sometimes, but it's never like, it's a very deliberate choice to make him be like, yeah, he's kind of like an annoying kid or a weird kid. He has a weird vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you break it down, there's nothing really like that bad.
No.
Like he does some shit that kind of is like troubled, but like nothing that's like
shoplifting,
like crazy.
But like who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's Canada.
And also, what's he shoplifting? Like a fucking key ring.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know? So we get this gorgeous wide shot of the whole family, happy family in the kitchen. And the father takes photos of them, and then he shows the kids the dark room and how to develop photos. And Jeremy keeps like turning the lights off and on in the room.
Okay. He's being an asshole.
He's a little asshole, but he's not doing anything like awful.
No, no, no.
And the dad's like, come on, Jeremy, don't do that. And he doesn't. Then mom returns home and the kitchen's a mess and she's fucking upset. She's like, what the fuck happened here? And the mom and dad argue. And she's like, I'm going to the child psychiatrist. You're not doing anything. You're not even attending. And she's like, you're not aware of what the crisis that we're in right now.
He was like hanging out with the
family.
Yeah.
He was taking care of them. They needed somebody. And the mom's like, you're not taking this seriously. And then the mom shows that guess the like child psychologist that she met with recorded the session that they had like on VHS or something.
Oh.
So like the dad and the mom sit in the bedroom together and they watch the session. And the doctor's like, I don't really.
Man, back in the day, you'd watch sessions of your child going through shit, and now you just watch YouTube videos.
Videos, and you hope that it winds out, turns out okay.
Yeah, and you give it a thumbs up and a like.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
So they watch it, and the doctor's completely useless. The doctor's like, I don't really have a diagnosis. I think Jeremy might be suffering from like oppositional defiant disorder. But I think all you got to do is just like assert your dominance towards your son. And it's like, that's not helpful at all. No. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? So then they're like, this is super unhelpful. And it's kind of a good moment between the mom and the dad because it's clear, like, they both see this doctor as completely useless. And they're both sort of just, like, having a good moment together where just like, that was fucking dumb. Like, we just wasted all this time on this person that didn't even help us.
Yeah.
And then Sasha just comes in and climbs into bed. And the dad's like, you're getting way too old for this, Sasha. So the dad has to go sleep elsewhere while Sasha just, like, lies in bed and falls asleep.
Aww.
And then later in the night, the dad comes in and picks Sasha up and brings her back to her bedroom.
Get out of here, kid. I gotta go to bed.
And he refers to her as Miss Mousy.
Aww.
Which is very cute because she drew a mouse on, what? Does that come into play later?
A little bit.
Ooh.
Oof.
How fun. Next day, kids play at the sprinklers. Dad records the whole thing on video camera. And then suddenly he gives the camera to Sasha when the cops arrive. They've brought Jeremy home in handcuffs because he was caught shoplifting. And all the kids stare and watch, including all the neighbor kids.
Oh, no.
And it's kind of a good moment. Like how we mentioned before, the movie feels very... what are we looking for? Where you're like watching...
Voyeuristic.
It feels very much like that, and it feels like you're a neighbor watching this family having difficulties.
I can imagine how it's shot. Yeah, it's very specific.
Very well made. Very well shot. Jeremy goes to his room. This part was so good. Because, again, it's very voyeuristic. It's shot from the window of Jeremy's room. Jeremy goes in his room, and the dad walks in and sort of, like, slams the door because he's upset at Jeremy. And Jeremy starts starting to, like, throw shit at his dad. And the dad is like, and the Jeremy's trying to like fight him. And the dad's like, what's the matter, Jeremy? I'm trying to help you. And then the dad comes up and just hugs him, just holds on to him and hugs him. And Jeremy tries to fight back and hit him. But then he just hugs his dad. And it's like a really great moment where it's just like a dad not understanding, not even his real dad, but a dad who's like worried about
dad who stepped up.
That's right. And Jeremy's just like, you're not my dad. He doesn't even say anything. He's just like, you don't fucking understand. I'm just angry and I don't know what to do.
It's just teenage shit, right?
It's so good.
Teenage hormones.
We've all been there before.
Yeah.
Dad plays music from the computer as mom peels potatoes. And this scene was literally right out of Jan Dielman, that one movie about the lady who sleeps with men and then also makes food. Remember that movie we watched for the podcast, the French film?
Oh, yes.
It's right out of that.
Well, so no, because it's only an hour and a half long movies. There's no way.
It's just one shot of the mom peeling potatoes, uh-huh. like one head-on shot.
Yeah, but they know how long you can get away with that.
Yeah, that's very fair. And Sasha's sitting next to her mom, and then Sasha's like, can I help? And the mom's like, yeah, sure. And so the mom gives the potato to Sasha, and Sasha tries doing it, and she's terrible at it. And then we get this amazing shot, this incredible shot, where the mom's like making food. And so we just get a shot of her hands in focus, and Sasha is out of focus in the background. And Sasha's like, hey, mom, can I invite like my friends over for dinner? And we, again, we are not seeing the mom's face. We're only seeing her hands as she's like preparing food. And the mom is like, I don't think it's a good idea to bring your friends over here. Like, if you want to go see your friends, I think that's totally fine. You can spend the night with them. You can go to dinner with them. Mm. And she's like, I don't think it's a good idea right now for your friends to come over and have dinner with us. I'm so glad you're making them. I'm glad you're making friends, but I don't want you to be embarrassed by your family. And Sasha's like, I'm not embarrassed by our family.
Uh-oh.
It's such a real thing. It's like the mom is like putting her own feelings on Sasha. And the mom is like, well, you know, the cop showed up and, you know, brought Jeremy in cuffs. And I think a lot of people have felt a certain way about that. It's like the mom's the one that feels that way. Like Sasha doesn't feel any one way or the other.
I mean, she might be the mom might be anticipating like neighbor feelings, right?
Oh, 100%.
Like she's
or like,
trying to do that.
100%.
Which
I think maybe
real
valid.
May not be real.
Totally valid. I just think it's a beautiful scene where Sasha's out of focus. The mom is in focus. And so it's like she's sort of putting Sasha's feelings about her own son into Sasha's mind.
Yeah.
And because later on, Sasha's like, I don't really have any memories of you. Like all I have are like things that I'm not sure I can really trust. Mm-hmm. And it's like those are probably put in there by the mom who probably thought she was doing the right thing at the time by like not having friends come over and feeling embarrassed about her own mm-hmm. sort of like family and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just a really great fucking scene. So the mom is preparing food and she puts it all on the stove and they're watching the food cook on the stove. And then suddenly they hear something above them and they look up and on the roof through like a little window on the roof is Jeremy walking around. The mom is like, what the fuck? And she just runs out of the house. And the dad runs out too. And the dad's like, what has gotten into you? What are you out of your mind? And the mom is like, get down from there, Jeremy. And we cut back inside and Sasha's watching the dinner that the mom just prepared burning on the stove because the mom's outside taking care of Jeremy. And the whole house just like filling up with smoke. And Sasha's like put her like hands in her ears. It's a very like real moment.
It's the ringing.
And then the mom is like Jeremy, please get down. Please get down. Like very tenderly begging Jeremy to get down. And we cut to Jeremy and it's this really great moment. I can tell. I was watching this part on my phone because I was having trouble streaming.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure if it was just my inability to tell from the smaller screen that I was watching it at or whether or not it was the intention of the filmmaker. But I couldn't tell if in this moment Jeremy was like crying or laughing. Like he's sort of making this like noise uh-huh. and it's like it sounds like and I couldn't tell if he was like crying because he was like moved to tears by his mom or if he was like laughing at her, like crying for him.
Same emotion.
Yeah. So dad sits, there's a great tender moment. Dad's sitting on the toilet, watching mom take a bath.
Hell yeah, brother.
Good shit. And then they both get in bed together and they lie there. And then they suddenly hear a glass break in the other room in the middle of the night. And they go out and it's Jeremy and he's bleeding out of his hand. I don't know what he did, but he's just bleeding. Maybe he cut himself
on
purpose, on accident. I don't know, but he's bleeding. And the mom comes in and she like covers Jeremy's hand with the blood and like holds on to him. It's this really beautiful moment in the middle of the night where we see Jeremy's face and he's not showing like fear or pain. He's just sort of like breathing very heavily. And the mom is just like holding on to him. And it's this really beautiful scene where like, clearly the mom really doesn't know what's wrong with Jeremy. And maybe Jeremy doesn't know what's wrong with Jeremy.
But, he definitely doesn't.
Yeah. But like the mom is just wanting to be there for him. And it's such a beautiful moment. Then we cut to all the kids, including Jeremy. They're all watching TV and some weird comedy about hippos living in the Canadian waters.
They're little tiny hippos.
And everyone's laughing at it. I'm like, whoa, what a shift.
They're all just hanging out and chilling. Wow, that's crazy. That was the last thing that happened beforehand.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is because, like, they show these little tiny hippos. They're basically, like, CGI, like, hippos.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
little baby hippos. And then at the end, it's like, you just saw that. It looked pretty real, right? Make sure it is real. Because you can't trust everything you see on TV. And then some lady comes from social services.
Ooh.
Comes over. and it's a scheduled house visit, and I'm noticing how everything's shot through like a foreground. And so we get this little interview with the social worker and
with the family,
the parents, the parents. They're talking. It's like, how's it been? How's it going? Seems like he's going through a lot. And he's like, well, we've moved so many times like recently, but like the last couple of days have been really rough.
Oh, they've moved before.
Yeah.
Oh,
we moved a few times. So then the kids are jumping on the trampoline and the dad's filming from the house. And I'm like, what's going on? What's this white boy doing here? He's like just fucking around with the stick. Like, why everyone's jumping on a trampoline? He's just like listening to music.
I know we said it before, but this kid really does look kind of like a school shooter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he looks like me, which then you just pivoted to saying he looks like a school shooter.
He doesn't look like you.
He's just a white guy.
He's just a white guy with long hair. He's got the big, like, school shooter glasses.
He really does. There's something about the 90s glasses that are big. It's like, that guy might shoot up school.
You're too friendly to look like a school shooter, but if you had those glasses, I don't know what would happen.
We're going to get some of those glasses come to your house one day.
I'll be like, ah, get out of here! You just come and you're like, don't go to school tomorrow.
And we get the shot of the mom like taking a phone call and there's like saying opportunity to take him away. And she's like, yes. And then we see shots with the kids jumping in the foreground. And, the mom is now talking to, the only reason I know this is it says adult Sasha in the captions.
Yeah.
It says talking to the mom and the mom's like, the doctor says, you know, the doctor said to like, take him to a psychologist, like call the police. And Sasha's like, I can't get over just kind of like what happened.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's my fault. Like, maybe if he was with someone else, like, he'd be a superstar or something. Like, I just think I might have failed as a parent.
Maybe he'd be like a movie star.
Maybe he would have been amazing. He would have been in a movie called Blue Heron. And then we cut to Sasha as an adult. Mm. And she's walking. She's setting up these tripods. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? I have no context for what's happening.
I was going to say, you don't know what the fuck this movie is about.
Yeah, and even at this point, you probably don't know what's happening at this point.
No, with the cameras? No.
With adult Sasha?
No.
So she's there, and she's setting up some cameras in this kind of like, just kind of standard office building. And just the way they shoot it with the fluorescent lighting and everything, I'm like, oh, this is already like very grounding and just like, got to do some shit, got to set up. And she's practicing like, hi, welcome in. And everything, like practicing all this stuff.
Oh, beforehand. People like entering.
People entering. And these people come in and they sit down and she says, hi, everyone. Like, thank you for coming. I just want to let you know, like, I'm a filmmaker. What I'm doing is I basically have a case file here. Thank you. They're all social workers.
Oh.
She says, I have this case file here with like basically an older child taking some like at risk behavior. And I wanted to
see what you would have done.
Yeah. 90% sure these are real social workers that were just brought in and shot because they seem very,
actors.
They don't seem like actors. They seem like someone who literally reviewed a case and gave their honest reaction on it.
That's cool.
Which is fucking crazy. I was looking up, there's not a lot of information about this movie.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, it's Canadian. Who knows about anything?
Yeah, who knows anything? It's all mysteries up there. And she's basically just like, I want you guys to look through it and like see if there's anything you would have done in this case that would be different now. You know, that would have changed or something.
Mm-hmm.
If things would change, this is an older case. And this very intense ginger-looking man is just like... When was this first observed? She's like, well, it was an incident around like 3 or 4 years, but then in like when he was like 15 years old, it really started escalating.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some things he wrote down. He wrote some things such as like the best time of his life. He can't remember a good part of his life. they asked like, what do you see as success? He's like, I just want to have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other, you know, vaguely depressing answers.
I will go on 4chan all the time.
Basically, yeah.
Pepe.
A little too early for that. And they say like, oh, is he like the oldest? He's like, yes, he's from a different husband. Like, okay, that can add definitely some outsidership to any sort of family, is what some social workers say. It's clearly that the whole family's in crisis because of this, because of this family. They could probably feel like they're at their wit's end. I think what the family should have done is maybe provide support on things he's interested in and met him maybe on his interest level.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like at his level, like voluntary placements also could be something. But it's hard to say what could have been done to make this feel better.
Oh.
I'm just like, oh my god. So, not so they're much
basically like nothing.
Basically nothing. Like maybe there's a couple people who got for like hopeless. A couple things, kind of.
Shit, so, dog. Like,
I know. Yeah,
that's
I know.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no. So get, that's an awful thing to hear.
Like, get fucking ready.
I'm buckled in.
Because you had like fun, slightly troubled but realistic times. I just get all the adult thoughts. I get all the adult thoughts. Oh, Mike, you're familiar with the adult thoughts on past childhood experiences.
I am. I'm very,
you're very
much
familiar
so.
With those. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. This is going to be fun.
So adult Sasha's walking the dog on her, walking her dog on a beach, looking very pensive. She's watching back old, all the footage back from what the people were saying, right. Editing them together on Premiere. And she's like, the people, basically one of the guys, I think that same ginger guy was like, hey, you know, like, I think the things we could have mentioned as a kid is like, it's okay that you're going through these things and you're feeling that these ways, but you got to try again tomorrow. And honestly, that advice could be applied to the parents as well. Like, this is also like a crisis for the parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the same point when you have such a troubled child. She's edited the footage and then she's splicing with old footage, which is the same footage that you see. Which
right.
Is
the,
like
the ones that the family shot.
The ones that the family shot. Yeah,
the dad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she takes a bath. She's watching His Girl Friday.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. She gets ready the next day, and she kind of like narrates. I don't. Is she talking to someone in this? I don't think she's talking to anyone in this.
I think it's just narration.
She's narration.
To us. She's talking to us.
Oh, no, no, no. She's talking to a another social worker who did actually come in and talk to, I think this might be the social worker that we saw earlier.
Oh.
It was a little hard to tell. But she was talking about like her experience. She's like, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I was young. I just had moments of chaos, but like a lot of not dramatic moments I remember too. Like yeah. It's hard to square some of my memories at that time. And she's like, what do you think my mom felt? And she's like, your mom probably felt that she was always disappointed with the lack of support she received,
mm-hmm.
which like,
sounds like it.
It sounds like, yes. but like there was some times where it was really troubling and I understand her fear because like, I remember her telling me that he always kept gasoline in his room, just a little bit, not a lot. And he would threaten to burn the whole house down.
What the fucking Christ?
Which is like, you know, I don't know if he'd ever do it, but like it was still
that's
a threat.
That's not a fun thing to hear.
It's not a fun thing to be threatened by.
Yeah,
you know, you're constantly alert. You can't relax with your family anymore when one of them might burn down the house at any moment.
Jesus Christ. With three children in it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the social worker just kind of ends off and says, like, I have a lot of respect for your parents and I hope someday I'll cross paths with them again. And then she gets off the phone and immediately starts like social media starts crying. And she's
probably dead or something.
The parents?
Yeah.
Well, she was just on the phone with one of them.
Oh, I thought that was a social worker.
No. Before that, like earlier, she was talking to her mom and her mom was like, oh, if I did better, I would have been a superstar. Or like he would have been a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
So I think she, at least her mom's still alive. I don't know what happened to the dad. Dad's died earlier, so who knows? So they.
He's too busy on the computer still gooning.
He's still gooning over there. He then gets ready and heads out the door. Or she gets ready and heads out the door and she drives off and the camera zooms in on a boat and then suddenly she's on that boat. It's like a ferry. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where's she going?
They mentioned earlier that they didn't want the kids taking the ferry. That's why they moved where they went. So
because they're on basically an island.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
you
yeah.
see the maps and they're on basically a little island and everything surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'm like, where are we going? I'm going to go visit the parents. I'm like, that's kind of weird. They're living in the same spot. I mean, they could be. And then we see a reflection from earlier. She goes and knocks on the door and says, oh, hi, I'm social services. And the dad pops out. The same dad, her dad.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, yeah, you must be the father, right? He's like, yeah. And I was like, wait, this is the same scene she saw earlier.
Yeah.
Where she was on the trampoline or actually hanging out in the bed watching cartoons.
Right, right, right. Watching the hippo.
The hippo thing.
Yeah.
And you're basically replaying it, but instead of a social worker, it's her as a social worker.
Oh shit!
And
putting herself in the place of the social worker.
Putting herself in the place of a social worker, because at this point, in my interpretation of this, at first I thought I was like, oh, maybe she's a social worker, but she clearly had shots earlier of her interviewing social workers, so maybe she isn't. She's a filmmaker, but she's literally putting herself in the shoes of what it's like to be going into someone's home.
Yeah, because it's also
and
I'm
making all these snap judgments
from the perspective of the social worker's
exactly.
viewpoint, right? It's from a different angle.
Yes, yeah, from a different angle seeing it, because earlier in the movie you see it from her angle as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's walking back and seeing that same thing with adult eyes, mm-hmm. from a third party perspective, because her memory's not so so fuzzy. So she's using kind of all the previous information she's gathered from the videos that she sees. Videos her dad captured, the information the caseworkers have brought, and she's going and basically simulating this.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, brother. So dad, I was, at this point, I'm like, okay, if I only saw the dad and the mom for like a second.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same one. I was like kind of trying to figure out and ground myself.
Right.
So she goes into the bedroom where they're literally talks to her younger self.
Oh, that's so freaky.
And she like gets down and like puts her head next to her and then like whispers something and they're watching TV. And then she looks back and she sees Jeremy and he's sitting there in the back. And she's like, okay. So she goes downstairs with the dad. I don't think I wrote the, okay. So earlier she's like, can I see the room? Mm-hmm. She looks at Saucer's room. She sees a little like stuffed animal there and just like, who's it? And, like picks it up. And the dad's like, oh, that's Miss Mousy. And I'm just like, oof. And then she puts her back tenderly and like adjusts the ears. Like, I truly care about this.
Her,
Like, oof.
Yeah.
So the dad's doing photo stuff in the basement, goes down there, goes and sees Jeremy's room, who was just a bunch of maps everywhere. Tons of maps. Yeah. You can see close-ups of it, of like the whole island. They're like, I want to say they're like very accurately done maps,
yeah,
as far
but
as
also done like freehand almost.
They're done freehand, maybe tracing, but they have like fun things on them, like this is the name of the town or someplace. It's like free or other things like that. Like,
right.
It's just kind of like free-forming it in some ways. It's kind of meditative. It's almost like when you do like an adult coloring book or something, right? For him, probably. But like most of his room is maps.
Well, the maps are from different locations, right?
Yes, they all.
Do you think
different.
They all like relate to the places that he's been since they moved so much?
Oh, maybe.
Like that's what I was thinking. Is like him going like, oh, well, this is where we originally lived. I'm gonna like map out all the different locations, sort of like ground himself in a weird way, you know? Because he doesn't sound like he's got like a place he knows his home. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She goes downstairs to see the dad doing his photo stuff. She's like, hey, can I take some of these photos? Like, oh yeah, sure. So then, we see adult Sasha. She's sitting out with the parents and just has an honest conversation with them. And this is one of the longest takes, I think, in the movie, where it's just focused on the two parents. You don't see adult Sasha at all. Mm-hmm. And the mom's just saying, like, we feel cursed.
Holy shit.
We've tried everything.
Oh, my God.
Nothing is working. And he's had all sorts of different issues. And, like, one time, like, he's only been acting out now, but one time when he was six, like, you tell the story. And the dad says, like, yeah, when I was playing catch with a ball with him and, you know, I threw the ball and he couldn't see the ball anymore. He just went cross-eyed and he couldn't see anything. And I'm like, oh, he had like a stroke or something? Like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But they say it's weird. No one knows what happened. And ever since then, like, he had glasses. He had an accent because we both have accents. So he wasn't exactly like popular at school. So like he was getting picked on. Sasha's like, this is something he'd share with you. And he's like, no, he never talked about it with us.
Oh,
he said like he didn't care about what other people thought at all.
Oh,
but then they literally said like he likes to be the clown.
Yeah,
he likes to be like make people laugh and be goofy and do weird stuff, and people find that funny. And I'm like, okay, well, he does care what people like because people
appeal. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like, these actors are putting in this work, because this is like a 10-minute long scene of them just like basically talking about this kid.
Yeah.
And
unbroken.
Yeah. And the mom's like, he keeps stealing things. He thinks he's some kind of like gangster boy. And then she's like, is it true he wanted to burn the house down? And then the mom just says, I know he hates me. And then she like gets up and leaves. It's like, I gotta, she starts speaking in Hungarian. And no, she doesn't get him to leave yet, because like basically says that and says, the dad's like, okay, well, what can we do? Cuts her off. It's like, what can we do? I don't want
you
to
talk about
this.
That yeah.
And she's, Sasha says like, I think voluntary placement, which is basically putting that kid in the foster home for a little bit.
Yeah,
he can come back at some point, but like just needs to get a different space.
Jesus Christ,
that's one thing we can do. And the dad's like,
that's gonna fuck him up.
And the dad's like, that's a really hard thing to hear. And then they start talking in Hungarian. She's like, she starts saying stuff like, this social worker probably thinks they're the worst parents ever. Yeah. Like, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to go get a drink of water. So he goes to drink of water and the camera pans all the way to a corner and sees a...
Jeremy watching?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And sees the, like a mirror. But the mirror is a very interesting refracting point where it has the parents, like, basically you see the dad and he's like kind of like doubling, kind of like cut in half.
You know me. I love a good mirror shot.
I know you will. That's why I brought it up.
That's what I'm talking about. I bet there's no camera in sight.
And the dad's just like, have you ever heard of a family like this before? And it's just like, no one, and the mom comes back, it's like, no one has to like ask to give their child away.
Yeah.
Except for people who are like alcoholics or beat their own children.
Yeah.
Like, why are we being asked to do that sort of same thing?
Yeah. We didn't do anything.
And then the movie changes and shoots adult Sasha's perspective. It's like, what do we do? And adult Sasha says some rough shit. She says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to do everything in your power to help him.
No, no, don't say this, Ethan.
And it will consume you entirely.
Oh, God.
You won't give up, but you will get tired. He will go to foster care only as a temporary solution. You will doubt yourselves as parents. You will begin to close yourself off to the world. No one will understand your issues. You will grow into, he will grow into an adult, and the help he needs, he will not get.
Oh, no.
It won't get better. Countless professionals will come in and out of your life, but it won't change. Despite what you know of him and yourself, you will lose him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. Like, this is definitely someone reflecting back and being like, if I was in their shoes, what would I tell them? I would tell them exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Hopefully they can do something different.
Maybe something could change.
Oh, my God.
They're not going to change.
There's nothing they could have done. That's the other thing that's fucked up is, like, we're really just stuck in the times that we're in, right?
Yeah.
And even now, like, it's not like there's – she talked to, like, modern day social workers, and it's not like they could have done anything any differently.
Yeah.
You know?
These are just kids that fall through the cracks, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, there was no way they got like a kind of a mid-ass diagnosis on him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't anything they could really, anything actionable with it.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, maybe what the social worker said maybe now is like, oh, maybe like, meet him on his interest, but like, how much is that?
How am I supposed to do that? I've got three other kids I gotta
worry
about.
Start drawing maps? Like, what am I gonna do here?
He doesn't talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, it's kind of a hopeless situation. It's just these kids who fall through the cracks where there's not as much support. Like, he clearly is troubled, but like, the government's not going to like subsidize like the extra work that's going to put into this kid who's troubled.
Yeah.
Like, but because he doesn't have like a clear,
I will say,
like, diagnosable mental disability.
I don't know what Canada's government does for these kinds of kids, I suppose.
It's probably the same thing.
You think so?
I think if it's not diagnosable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's one of the things, if he was in America, if then they're rich, they could probably find some sort of child behavioral therapist that probably.
Probably not back in the day, though.
I mean, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. But they at least would have had more choices, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They would have more
that's
choices true. If they, again, if they were rich
yeah,
and could afford
not.
It. With four kids, they're not making a
no
lot of money.
Fucking way.
Fucking around on Windows 95, you're not making that much money.
Mom seems like she's not doing anything for a living.
Is she? I feel like she goes out a lot, doesn't she? Oh, maybe she is just a caretaker.
I think she's just a caretaker, housewife.
Housewife.
Yeah.
Housewife, caretaker, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sasha, after dropping this whole fucking bomb, we don't even see the parents' faces at this point. She goes into the room where the kids are watching TV. They all look. Sasha, young Sasha, all those other kids you mentioned, I don't know their names. And Jeremy. And
Henry and Felix, I believe their names
okay,
are.
Okay, sure. It doesn't matter. And then they and then the camera shoots back and shows sees adult Sasha looking sad about seeing these kids and cuts back and Jeremy's gone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right.
He's no longer watching TV.
I had no idea what this movie was about. I thought it was going to be like, we need to talk about Kevin. I was like,
no, it's so much sadder.
It's
so much
so
more
worse.
Real than that. Because,
yeah,
like,
it is.
This probably happens way more often
yeah.
than the we need to talk about Kevin situation.
The
right?
fact that it happens at all
yeah.
is like sad enough. You
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Ay-yi-yi. Yeah.
And we see her getting in the car. She drives off. And we see that actually Jeremy's in the backseat with her. And they go on a hike and they chat and she says, like, I didn't know you had a friend named Elijah. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, how come I don't remember that? And he says, like, you don't remember a lot of things. It turns out. And she then is sitting there looking out on into the sea, ocean, lake. I don't know what it is. It's an island, so it must probably be the sea.
Yeah.
And Jeremy's kind of sitting next to her on like a staircase. And she's like, oh, I got the story I want to read to you. And he's like, okay. And it's like, oh, dear Sasha, like, I wanted to talk about how I had a story with a Jeremy. And, like, we used to get in trouble breaking the lockers. Like, I got in trouble, actually. And I felt bad because he was always a good kid to me. And he was, I did most of the problems, but he took the blame as well. And we both got sent to detention, and it was trouble. And like,
right.
He was always nice to me. And like, I'd sometimes see him out there with people who are not good influences, and I wasn't really sure how to help. And I feel bad because I didn't see him much after high school, but I heard about, you know, I learned about you and your films, and then I learned about him passing. And the camera pans, zooms back, and Jeremy's gone. Mm. He's no longer here. And I wanted to reach out to you about your brother and the memories of your brother, who was a warm soul and a kind heart.
Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
And I'm fucking dying. Oh my God. I'm dying. Because this is like, this is some real shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
This happened.
You know. I think everyone
Ethan's
knows.
Like getting a little bit teary-eyed right now. Yeah.
No, dude. This fucking broke me. Yeah, it was
this
just like,
is so real.
There are people.
Yeah. This happens,
that happens to.
And it's like, you're a kid.
Yeah, no.
Like,
I mean,
you
have
fucking control over
also
anything.
Also, when you're in high school, like, I literally knew basically the same story. Like, I found out about someone I knew in class taking their life only, like, maybe, like, 5 years ago. Eesh. Like, that shit happens. And he was always nice to me, but I did kind of feel like he was kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not in any dangerous way.
Just like there was
like
something off.
There's something off about him.
Yeah.
So she walks off, takes out a photo, gets her phone out, takes a photo of, like, I don't know. It's probably from the beginning of the
film. Probably the opening, yeah.
And then it goes up and it says Blue Heron, and it's all in his drawings.
Mm.
And I'm just like, fuck. And that's the end of the movie.
That's some good shit right there.
Oof.
That is some really good fucking shit.
This is one of those, like, okay, film. I think it's like, well, no, it shows like film is like a way to really
work through some shit,
work through some stuff. And when it's semi-autobiographical, I mean, we're kind of biased, right? Like, we love fucking The Fablemans, where it's like a weird semi-biographical thing. Like, obviously it's a different scale. It's clearly not as depressing as this, but it's a way to work through your trauma. And I think a lot of art is a way to do that. And I think it's just such a interesting way of doing this, with like bringing in the real social workers.
Yeah.
At least I think they're
putting
real.
yourself in the place of your own self as a child.
Making an actor kind of do all the things you did and how you felt when you're kind of reconciling this, probably shooting your first film in college or whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
Your documentary, which Still Processing is the movie she also made. It's on the Criterion Collection as well.
I gotta check that out.
But yeah, it's just like, this is one of those like, fuck, this is a movie. Like, this is a movie that really is not just there for someone to really, I guess, enjoy in a way, but it's someone to really is just going to reach out and touch people who have been through kind of a similar situation.
Or might know someone who's been
through
that.
Or might know someone. It's just a way of processing. And you just feel that. Like, the director does such a good job of placing you in the shoes of this. Like, and I think, honestly, that letter at the end is a really grounding way of just being like, you all know people who are like this. You knew that one, and you're like seeing on Facebook, you know, this person passed away. I'm so sorry to hear this. And like, you know, at our age, it's like that happens more, as people just maybe don't, they fall through the cracks and they become adults.
Yeah.
And they don't get the support they need in our country. Perhaps
or
other
Canada
countries,
as
or
well.
Canada countries, other countries, even beautiful socialist countries, according to Canadian Bacon. People still fall through the cracks, like, even with any sort of like social government help.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, it's good to have that mental health, but like,
there's so many fucking factors.
There's so many factors. And like, you know, look, I love public health care. I think that's great.
Too. Yeah.
But you're probably going to get like a good baseline, right?
Yeah.
And these are people who need special treatment for
this
things.
Isn't just a question of like what politically is like acceptable, right? It's like, think about the factors this kid had. It's like, you've got like a mom, and then the mom had to leave that original relationship, found a new one, someone that she loved, someone who's dependable, someone she can make money with, and then has other kids with them. And it's like, what the fuck do you tell that old, like, other kid? Like, that kid feels so othered, doesn't feel related or connected to anybody that he's around. I don't know. It's like, that's not something that anybody can really like handle, let alone like a big government, like, you know, sector, you know, like that's not their interest. You know, it's like the family has no fucking means of being able to handle that kind of shit.
Yeah.
The government has no like concern about any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's just a really fucking shitty situation. You know, it's like, that's, I don't know. That's what makes it so like real. It's like, it's not necessarily like this is something that is this can absolutely probably be solved if there is enough like concern and love surrounding that kind of like in a
but
society,
that's the thing that's sad. But, oh, yeah, in a society, but like that's the thing that's sad is it's just like clearly the parents cared, right? Mm-hmm. They had that whole she had the whole speech about like they're gonna turn themselves inside out for this kid who's just can't get the help they need, but it's like what help do they need? Like what can
they
we
don't
even provide? They don't know. They don't know themselves.
No.
You know? Yeah. And I don't know if this kid ever went to therapy. It doesn't sound like he did.
Probably
but
not.
But like, you know, maybe that would have been some ways
to figure
it out.
The mom didn't want him to go to therapy because she thought that therapy was like only what crazy people do, basically.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe that's
a lesson. That's still a thing
that
happens nowadays.
But maybe that's a lesson is that like you need to destigmatize therapy for
troubled
kids, you know?
That's kind of the thing. I've been thinking about this a lot with movies because like you always, I enjoy a movie that has like a political like opinion or stance, right? There's this whole like Wim Wenders thing where he's like, no movie's political. And I'm like, I think a lot of movies do have like, if you're apolitical, you still are taking a political stance.
Yeah.
But I do think that certain movies kind of falter by like assigning certain like really, you know,
like this not, is the solve. This is the way to do it.
Yeah. That's not the way I think more than likely, because there you have all these weird like edge cases that don't actually like fall into the cracks.
And that's the part that makes humans human and why they vote in weird ways. Right.
Right.
In some ways.
But what I do think movies are really good at and what this movie does a really good job of is actually like putting us into an empathetic place that maybe we have not thought about in a very long time. You know, movies are not just there. Movies aren't there necessarily to like prescribe a political alignment, but it is there to align us with humanity that we might have not aligned with in a very long time, or maybe we're not used to, basically, right?
Yeah.
It's like putting us in the position of like a trans person, a gay person, a mentally unwell person, like, you know, a family dealing through something, a poor, you know, family that doesn't have a lot of money. Like there's all these people, there's all these types of people that movies will be about, and allowing us to align with them and understand their problems and what they're suffering from can not only let us empathize with them in a much more human way, but also maybe, hopefully, when it comes to political stances, remember like what that felt like.
Yeah.
Remember like how helpless they must have felt, and remember when we might have felt a similar helplessness. And rather than feeling like we got ours, you know, we're gonna take it away from other people that might need that, we can remember like, no, there's still people that they're suffering. We need to extend a level of empathy towards them. I think that's what movies like this exist for, where it's like, yeah, it fucking sucks that kids are falling through the cracks. It sucks that families don't have enough to support them, or, you know, from financially or whatever. But really, like, because it's like, ultimately, I think what this movie's so good about is like, it's not about like the crazy kid you knew at your school, or about, you know, like a big mental health crisis.
Yeah.
This is about a woman who had a brother that she cared about, and it fucking sucks that her brother took his own life. Ultimately, I think that's what
we don't even know if that happened, but most likely,
probably a brother that she was estranged from. And it sounds like, well, what's the documentary about? Her older brother like killed or like died, right?
Yeah, two older brothers.
So it's like, ultimately, that's what this movie's centered on, is like what it feels like. As everyone knows what it feels like to lose somebody in your family that maybe they left too soon or whatever, you know? It's like, it's a fucking tragedy. And so like, ultimately, like, I think that's what this movie is really getting to the heart of. And then all of the other factors in it can like follow through, where it's like, isn't it fucking awful this happened to this poor fucking kid? Is there anything we could have done to have stopped it? Is there anything we can do to like make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else? Whether it be a bigger, you know,
and I mean, the answer
thing,
it seems like, is also just like, not really right now. Not really. Like, it seems like even nowadays, like,
the
worker system needs to be reevaluated, but also putting in the social worker's shoes, like, you're kind of just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? There's so much trauma here and so many years of experience that, like, how do you expect one professional person to come in?
Spend 20 minutes with a family,
look at, like, ooh, look, there's a bunny. You see the name of it. Okay, I don't know what that means.
Is it true that they had gasoline in their room?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
stuff
exactly.
Like that, like, you're kind of just making a quick evaluation.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much help? Like, this is someone who needs so much more assistance and help than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't even know with all that, like, are they just doomed from the start? You know? Are this brain chemistry just not good for the earth?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's,
I don't know.
And that's the thing about movies, right? Good movies, they just ask questions. They don't provide answers.
Not necessarily.
Not always.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some things to think about. It's definitely lots of stuff to chew on.
I fucking love this movie, dude.
It was so good.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you liked it, too.
Me, too. You know, it was also very short. And like
that helped a lot.
It's so weird, though, because like this, it's such a short movie, and they spend so much time, though, just chilling out. And like, there's so much time of her just getting ready and taking the time to like getting in a car and driving. And I'm just like, normally I'd be like, this is like stupid. Why are you doing this? But because of the way the movie is like shot and grounded, like all of those scenes really feel like you need to just think about like what it's like. How is this woman's day?
What was this woman's day like? It's also like she says, she's like, not all of my life with this kid was awful. Mm-mm. You know, it's like I had good moments. Like there were happy
Nothing's
moments.
Black or white, right?
And it's like, you know, in certain movies they say that and you're like, well, I don't know if I remember any of those moments. But then you see like moments with like Jeremy in the kitchen playing with his siblings,
and he's also like, he's chilling on the watching cartoons with them and having a chill time.
And it's like, yeah, there were moments where things weren't awful. Like there were moments, and like, yeah, when you're watching the movie, it's like nothing is happening. But like that's the way fucking life is sometimes. And it's like it's good to include those when you're trying to include evidence of like sometimes it's actually good with these people in your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, do you know anybody mentally ill in your family?
No.
Email us at emailthealerpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous Canada episodes, which even though O Canada is not like a comedy, I feel like this is probably the most serious one of all of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Find them on any podcasting app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is a map of Canada. Because I feel like we need to know some of the provinces there.
Oh, Canada feels like a cakewalk compared to this. Like,
oh my God.
Like, oh, you're old? Whatever. Like, what about like.
Oh, you're old and you slept around a bunch and you broke hearts? Who gives a
shit?
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
988.
At least you fucking lived.
Yeah. 988 is a suicide crisis lifeline, by the way, in case you're feeling.
Oh God. We should probably put something in the beginning as well.
Probably. I didn't realize it gets so heavy, but
I
like,
didn't think it was gonna. I honestly had no fucking clue where this movie is going, so I know.
That's crazy.
No,
nothing at all. You're just
no.
Like, oh,
I was just like, oh, this seems sad. Like, I didn't expect it to be like based on a true, you know, experience.
Yeah,
so.
I looked it up because I was like, as soon as I saw the social workers come in, I'm like, this movie feels a little too real. Like, yeah, I'm sure based on true events, maybe, but like, this feels a little too real.
A
like, you don't even
bit,
know like
yeah.
what is real events and what's not. Like the fact that you're watching a character edit movies together, like at the same time, it's like it's a really interesting experiment in the medium too.
I am excited to see what this director does next.
Me too. I'm gonna be following her for
That's
rest
creepy.
Of our lives.
That's creepy.
What? No, it's
Good
not.
Good night, everybody.
I like literally. This is a letterbox where everyone seems to be following her.
Yeah, that's true. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.